Let's bring in Yahoo Finance's Brian Chung, who is tracking all of the earnings for us. And JPM specifically, Brian, we're talking about the bank warning about headwinds coming from higher expenses.
Yeah, absolutely. And that impacted their fixed income in revenue stream. Now, of course, this is kind of changing, if you will, of shifting of the winds from those banks that did very well in the depths of the pandemic with regards to their trading desks in favor maybe now of the pendulum swinging towards those more retail and consumer focused banks. But let's unpack what we saw at JP Morgan Chase. Again, $30.4 billion on the top line for adjusted earnings per share on the bottom line of $3.33, beating the top and bottom line estimates from Wall Street. Now, when you take a look again at that fixed income sales and trading, the impact of the anticipation for higher rates definitely impacting them on that front, $3.3 billion in revenue for the quarter compared to the street's estimates of $3.4 billion. That's, by the way, down 16% year over year. And management was saying that higher rates could further hurt fixed income in the quarters to come. And Jamie Dimon, the CEO, never a dull one, said he could see 6 or 7 rate hikes this year. But by the way, his calls in the past have been not so great when you consider that he called for 5% on the 10-year back in 2018. By the way, that never happened. But if we shift over to Citigroup, another big Wall Street bank that reported this morning, on the top line, they reported revenue of $17 billion. On the bottom line, they had a rare miss. Again, you don't see this too often in the banking industry. Adjusted earnings per share of $1.46 compared to street's estimates of $1.62. Very similar story with them. Fixed income coming in less than what the street had expected, $2.5 billion in sales and trading in that front compared to the street's estimates of about $2.7 billion. And you had Mark Mason telling reporters earlier this morning that he could see the further declines as rate expectations continue to notch up. Keep in mind that 2020 was a very good year in fixed income, so comps might be a little bit difficult on that front. But let's also kind of go out to San Francisco, California, to assess the situation on the consumer banking side of things with, of course, Wells Fargo. That bank also reporting this morning revenue coming in at $20.9 billion. On the bottom line, smash expectations, $1.38 compared to the street's estimates of $1.02. The big story for them was even though the loan pipeline wasn't that great, again, this is a bank that's still regulatory constrained in what they can do. They saw their loans decrease by almost 3%, but their revenue went up to $21 billion still. Non-interest income coming in 27% up year over year, although Wells Fargo, among the major banks, like you've heard other banks as well, wanting to change their overdraft fees, maybe want to eliminate their non-sufficient funds and overdraft protection fees. That could be impacting the bottom line in quarters to come. But of course, a good thing on balance for those consumers that are patrons of those banks. But again, we still have a number of other big banks to hear from. Morgan Stanley, Goldman Sachs, and Bank of America on deck for next week. Guys.
Yeah, that's the big earnings story you've been following us, following for us, Brian. The other big thing out there is your other beat that you cover so well. The Fed, as President Biden kind of makes some key announcements to some posts we've been waiting to hear who he's going to name. What are we hearing about what his plans are on that front?
Yeah, I was in the middle of the Nets game, and then I had to drop everything because of the news that the White House was going to make the announcement of 3 picks to round out the Fed board. We did get the confirmation this morning, but Lisa Cook and Philip Jefferson, professors from Michigan State and Davidson College, respectively, to be picked for Fed governor roles. And then Sarah Bloom Raskin will be returning to the Fed if confirmed by the Senate, this time as the Fed vice chair of supervision, a very important role that controls the regulatory and supervisory portfolio of the Fed, which, by the way, oversees the United States' largest banks. Now, again, they all need to go through Senate confirmation. We already saw Jerome Powell and Lael Brainard for the respective number 1 and 2 spot at the central bank go through their testimony this week. It's interesting because the kind of composition of these nominees, if confirmed, would change the landscape of the Federal Reserve Board of Governors. There has never been a Black woman appointed to the Fed board in history. And Philip Jefferson would only be, I believe, the 4th Black male to head up a role at the Federal Reserve. Keep in mind, this is for an institution that's over 100 years old. And with Sarah Bloom Raskin, that would actually be a 4-3 majority women-led board if confirmed. So the landscape and diversity of this Fed, very much a priority for the Biden administration. Of course, they need to get confirmation from the Senate. We'll have to see when they're scheduled for any sort of testimony. But again, the Biden administration making it official, Lisa Cook, Philip Jefferson, and Sarah Bloom Raskin for those remaining Fed vacancies.